What's going on, everybody? I'm your host, HD, and this is the Textual Talk Podcast, where we talk about tech, breaking into tech, how to stay in tech, getting the bag in tech, and et cetera, et cetera. Today, you guys are in for a treat. Got some lucky guests with us today. Now, you guys know Eric Thomas, aka the Sock Coach. He's been on the platform before, so it's always interesting when me and him get to start talking about sock talk. Then we have a new guest today, Miss Rose. Now, Ms. Rose is also a threat hunter as well. And today we will, you know what? Listen, I'm going to get a long intro, but honestly, this is an unfiltered, unscheduled episode. We touch on threat hunting, how you get your start. How did you get a start in cybersecurity, MySpace, things to look out, getting your biases out when you are threat hunting, things about, you know, cybersecurity, people possibly getting overpaid somewhat. Yeah, man. So this is a good episode, and check it out. We have a special giveaway that you have to watch it till the end or listen to the end in order to get the special prize. So please tune in all the way to the end. Don't just skip to the end. I don't know if you just skip to the end. And yeah, so enjoy the show.
Oh, somebody had told him that GameStop had six of them. And he was going to buy four of them. And I just slid in there, man, and just bought one.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Buddy is tripping.
You got to be lucky. You got to be lucky.
I don't even know what the name is. Episode, like, Blue Top, Blue Team. I don't know. It's going to be some catchy. We're going to try to find the name.
Some catchy.
Through the podcast. And so, for our listeners and viewers, we have a new guest today. You guys already know the Sock Coach. He's been on a couple of my episodes, and we'll probably be on some more. And we have Miss, and I do not want to mess your name up. I heard Eric say, is it pronounced Babette?
Babette. Bad, like the sound of a sheep.
Babette.
Like you're ready.
You didn't correct me. Yeah. You didn't correct me a single time.
Oh, it didn't. Well, I'm trying to correct people more on how to say my name.
No, I want to say it right. Babette, I mean, clearly, I just learned Henri's name. So,
hey, it's a work in progress.
Like 3 seconds ago.
But yeah. So this episode is probably gonna be about threat hunting. But honestly, we had some good background stuff behind the scenes when we're talking about like where people got their starts and what they do on a day-to-day. I don't think I've been doing the best job at the day-to-day stuff for some of my listeners because they're interested in some of these roles. But first things first, we're just going to let our newest guest briefly introduce herself and what she does, and then we'll just start, you know, we probably just call this like Sock Talk Volume 2 because we did this before. So yeah,
I like
it. Babette, or can I call you a nickname or something? I don't want to be butchering your name the whole show.
No, I don't allow that. I'm kidding. You can call me Rose.
Okay, Rose.
Yo, I thought she was so serious. I was like, this is going to be difficult.
I did too.
This is going to be tough.
She definitely got that type of.
I don't want to allow it in the corporate world. Yeah.
So what's the nickname that we're allowed to call you?
Rose.
Yeah, all right.
Like flowers.
Got you.
So a little bit about me. My name is Babette Jackson, but I also go by Rose. I work at Juniper Network. I'm a data loss prevention engineer. I also deal with insider threat, and I'm moving into the world of threat hunting. I've been with Juniper about 3 years. I've been working on building up their whole DLP, data loss prevention program. My main title that you'll probably see, because I've noticed that when it comes to maybe job hunting, there's so many names for the role that I'm in. I'm information security analyst, a cybersecurity engineer, a security engineer, all of those different things. A little bit more, in 2019, I graduated from Cal Poly Pomona, and I got my degree in business administration, computer information systems, and an emphasis in information security and forensics. A little bit more about that is I'm very proud to say that I graduated the only African-American female on that track for computer information systems.
I'm clapping for the graduation, not the not the only, because we should have more. So I'm clapping for the graduation.
Oh yeah, definitely. There's definitely more people enrolled in there.
Definitely,
but yeah. Yeah, it's definitely an accomplishment. One thing that I try to do that I'm now that I'm in a position to kind of give back is go back to like the younger generations and give talks and basically tell my story a little bit about how I got here, given where I came from and where I'm at now, and just get more people interested into tech and specifically cybersecurity, because it's a growing field that a lot of people, I believe, should get into.
Oh yeah, that's facts. I mean, that's really the basis of this whole platform, is giving back and representation. Like, I think I put shout out to the Job Father real quick, man, because he been killing it on LinkedIn with his posts and stuff like that. But he was posting about like how his aim is to get like 500 black people in tech, mm-hmm. or whatever. And people always try to say and POC, and he was like, no, I want to get 500 black people.
I said
people
what
in
I
tech,
said.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Right. And I was like, yeah. And I added on to that. I was like, the reason for me to start this platform was the same thing, like representation. I was like, everybody, we should be around similar age ranges. It's like, when we was coming up, you wouldn't have seen a podcast like this with three faces that look like ours.
Not talking about tech, no.
Or tech or anything.
No.
And true. I think that's like, I think, you know, right now it's like the early stages of this. I think this is episode 48. But the whole deal is just about like, now as we like start building on to this, is, you know, people gonna be like, oh, I remember I seen you on the podcast, you know, I want to thank you, I watched that episode, and you know, you really helped me see that I could do that. Because I don't know, Babette, aka Rose, for y'all don't know, if you've seen a lot of my episodes, but I think Black women are probably the most of my guests that's been on here. And that was, yeah, because that was for a reason. Because I'm at work, I rarely work with Black women. And so I know they're out here, and especially, I think 2020 showed me like how many Black women were in tech. Mm-hmm. And that's what made me decide to start reaching out and showing all these different women, and also showing like, these are like some beautiful women. Like, you don't have to be some body that nobody want to talk to do these roles. And I strategically did that for y'all. I don't know. I went and found attractive women to be on my podcast.
You scammer.
For a reason. Hey.
Your friend. I'll break the stereotype.
But no, that's dope. This probably be one of the few background stories on it, but what made you decide that you wanted to get into cybersecurity? Kind of what made you want to do that?
Oh, so we can take it back to high school. Or let's take it back a little bit further. So I grew up in San Francisco. I'm from San Francisco. In elementary school, I went to one of the worst private schools, public schools, switched over to a private school for a year, hated it, which was sixth grade, went back to another terrible school for middle school, then got a scholarship for one of the best private schools in San Francisco. So they were like helping us. I felt like at the public school, I was kind of like the smartest, but not so smart, as in I can still get like do the bare minimum and produce like a 3.75. And then I went over like to the private school. All of that changed. Within my first year, I was playing volleyball and basketball, and trying to do the bare minimum, and was failing out of class. So I was constantly had like counselors at my neck, almost got kicked off the team because I wasn't producing. College applications came around. I didn't really take it seriously. So I guess like in the place that I grew up in, kind of like graduating high school was the hard stop. Like, oh, you did it, congrats. So when they came to me and they were like, so what are you going to do for college? I was like, oh, maybe I'll do dance. I wasn't taking it seriously, I just know. And I was like, okay, maybe psychology. And then my counselor came to me and he was like, why don't you try STEM? And I was like, why would I do that? Everything for summer school, I had to come back for all my science classes and all my math classes. So why would I continue a path like that when I continue to fail at it? He was like, well, because I know you're smart. And I know you can do it. And at the time, it wasn't a lot of minorities inside of STEM. So I took the chance. I did it. I applied for computer science for a lot of the top schools. One of my things is shoot for the moon. If you miss, you'll land amongst the stars. So I got rejected from every school that I applied to, except for one school. And that one school was Cal Poly Pomona. And they didn't give me my acceptance letter until like 2 weeks before I graduated school and everything. So fast forwarding, I get to college, came in as a computer science student. It was weird because, you know, the whole stereotype around people who are in computer science classes, as in they didn't really talk too much. And when I came into college, I was already starting in I forgot the name of it, but for math, like I was 2 steps behind, like a whole year behind. So
Shout out to the remedial math gang. We all been there.
Yeah, it was dumb. I got an A in the actual class. I went to my counselor and was like, look, give it to me straight. How long is it actually going to take for me to graduate, given that I started with remedial math? And he straight up said, like, 8 years. I was like, oh, I'm not going to be here for that long. So is there something where you can combine the two where you can still talk a little bit, but I'm also behind the scenes talking to people? And we had this whole program come up of cybersecurity. And
What year was this? I'm just curious because you said he mentioned a cybersecurity program, and that's sort of a new thing. What year was the?
Yeah. So this was 2014, okay. And it wasn't called cybersecurity. They didn't have that.
Information assurance. What's it called? That
computer information systems.
Okay. Yeah, that's my CIS.
Yeah, so that's what it was called. And they didn't even have like the whole cybersecurity, because my emphasis is in information security and forensics, which is the cybersecurity part. Okay. And they didn't have that until my last year, which was 2019. It was like web development, business something analyst, and some other stuff that I didn't want to do. So once I got to the core classes, I got into it. And I really got interested in the whole field of cybersecurity. I personally didn't know that cybersecurity was an actual thing. I thought when you went into tech, it was literally just like software engineering. That was it. So when I got into the classes, I will admit they were a little bit on the harder side for myself, because, again, I didn't know anything about cybersecurity, didn't really know anything about computers. Everybody in my class were like white males, and a lot of the times I was the only female, if not the only African-American female, and I was in class with students whose parents were computer engineers. But yeah, the reason why I wanted to be in cybersecurity is because if you watch the show Criminal Minds, and the one person, Penelope, who was always in the background, always in the dark with like 5 different computer screens, I was like, yes, I want to be her. Exactly.
She be finding the unsubs, boy. She be finding the unsubs.
Exactly. Yes, so she was my motivation. I didn't know the name of what she did, but that's what I wanted to do. When I figured out, like, oh, that's what she does. Yes, that's what I want to do.
Okay. You know, it's funny, y'all finna laugh at me, but I can't recall an episode of Criminal Minds.
What?
I used to watch Numbers.
Watch that.
What other show I watched? Honestly, I haven't watched a lot of them in a while, like maybe like Law and Order. And
Law and Order's been on for 40 years, so I mean...
Well, I was just thinking about in that realm, but I will say I did briefly watch Mr. Robot, and I felt
Mr. Robot. Yeah.
It was accurate enough. Like when I just watched it, I was like, because I knew a dude that was like Mr. Robot.
Well, you know the Mr. Robot, the reason, and I want to get back to Rose's story because I have some questions. But you know the reason Mr. Robot was so accurate, because the team over at Hack 5 were the technical consultants for that show. So like that's why they were they were plugging their actual product names. Like they used a rubber ducky during the show. I think they used a land shark during the show, but some of the guys from over at Hack 5, which I mean great organization. Anybody who's interested in red teaming and IR should definitely look for it. But so a lot of them were and I think their CEO's black. Yeah, hold on, y'all.
Interesting.
I think their CEO's black. Hold on, let me make sure. Don't quote me yet. Let me see. Hack 5. If it's not Hack 5, then it's Rapid 7. No, Rapid 7 CEO is black. Little known fact.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Rapid.
Do they got free? I need to see if Rapid 7 got some free certifications like Qualys.
So, I feel like I'm about to DDoS his LinkedIn right now. I really feel bad, but I'm gonna tell y'all anyway. Let me pull it up. Their chairman and chief executive officer's name is Corey E. Thomas, and he is on LinkedIn. Yeah, he's black.
Is that your cousin?
It's not my cousin. You know what? Yeah, it's my cousin. Yeah, it's my cousin. That's my cousin. But anyway, Rose, I have some questions for you. So you mentioned your situation, you mentioned that a lot of your classmates, their parents were computer engineers and things like that. How much and being in San Francisco during the dot-com boom, right? Like most people don't know when we say Silicon Valley, we're talking about San Francisco. A lot of people don't know that, but we are, right? Being in that environment, how much do you think that, what kind of influence do you think that had on you wanting to enter tech? Was it, because in my mind, it's between 2008 and now, everybody who lived in San Francisco, like, tech was just, like, there was almost this easy pathway. And I don't want to say easy because, you know, I don't want to undermine the work that you've put in, but a lot of times we look at it coming from other regions of the country, like, oh, if I was right out on the West Coast, like, I would have learned this stuff in the fifth grade. You know what I mean? What was your experience? Do you feel
I think they got to the market faster.
Yeah. Do you feel like your experience was more, do you feel like you had more influences around tech and around that culture than, you know, maybe people who are coming from other regions of the country?
Honestly, I wouldn't say so. I grew up kind of like in the ghetto, so I didn't have any type of that type of influence of like the whole
two sides. It's two sides. Okay, I got you.
Wait, before you ask the next question, because I was doing a reaction video recently and I had forgot about, well, it's a new time now, but I know like when I was coming up, we didn't get our first computer at the house. I think I was in, I want to say seventh grade maybe. And I was lucky to get that, honestly, because there's many other people that look like me didn't have one at the house. When did you get your first computer?
Oh, yeah. I was lucky enough to have a computer when I was really young. I had like one of those big mainframes. I had multiple laptops. So I've always been doing deep research. The whole like MySpace days of like coding and stuff. So I had interest in tech, but I didn't know.
For your profile time. Yeah, this is a MySpace segment. Everybody needs to say what they had.
You just alienated everybody under 30 right now.
Hey, if you under 30 and you didn't have a MySpace, this might be you need to skip over this.
This is the 30 plus. We're going to take 2 minutes.
I'm 27.
Ooh. What were you doing on MySpace? Wait, you was crazy.
That's what I'm trying to get at.
So back to Rose's.
Back to her creeping on MySpace.
Creeping on MySpace because you 27. Because
I got a MySpace in ninth grade.
You shouldn't have been there.
So you was in what, sixth grade?
I got a MySpace in the 12th grade.
Dang.
I just wanted to.
I had MySpace and then I got Facebook close to senior year in high school, like junior summer to senior year in high school.
Oh, I think I was like in sixth grade, maybe borderline fifth grade. No, I wasn't the only one doing it.
What you was doing in sixth grade on MySpace?
Talking to people. Mm-hmm. I had friends.
I'm gonna message you. Who you was talking to?
Yeah, this is not the exposure hour. This is not the exposure hour. We're not going to do that.
We're going to get... Okay, but since she was in sixth grade, I was in ninth grade. Everybody...
I was in 11th. Well, if you was in ninth grade, I would have been 11th. On the way. Yeah, I would have been 11th.
Okay. What's your profile song was? I had a playlist at one point, but I know it was one of mine was...
Let Rose go first. I want to hear hers.
I don't remember, but I'm pretty sure back then it was probably... Little Wayne.
Okay.
Or
okay.
Some random Soulja Boy song or something like that.
Mine was 100% Juel Santana, Mic Check. Strictly because on the intro, he was like, don't watch me, watch TV. And 11th grade me thought that was the most profound wisdom that had ever come from a rap song. He was like, don't watch me to watch TV. And I was like, you know what? I would prefer them to look elsewhere. But heck, it was so profound.
See, I think my favorite one was Shawty, Plies, and T-Pain. Shawty was like,
for your ninth grade song?
Yeah.
Let me see what
you've done. Yeah. 06.
Oh, six. Nah, man. It was Mic Check for me. 06, because 06, I was going to my senior year, so I thought I was an adult. I was also at the time getting paid to design MySpace pages. That's another story. I'm sure I've told that on this podcast before.
I used to send mine to the girls. Hey, I need you to hide my top friends for me. Okay, I got you.
Yeah, I know. I used to get paid to design MySpaces, so I took two periods of keyboarding back to back, and I paid somebody to do my keyboarding work. So that I could write HTML and design people's MySpace pages during class, because I didn't have a computer. I got my first computer my freshman year of college.
Do y'all remember the proxies that we used to use to get on MySpace in public school?
Remember them exactly, or remember using them?
I remember using the K-Proxy, too, going into the internet settings.
I was going to say, K-Proxy, I remember K-Proxy.
I was on YouTube, everything.
I remember K-Proxy. I remember there was this one proxy that I got from... damn, I'm about to date myself. Nah, I'm not going to talk about that.
What you got from X Jeeves?
I was about to say 4chan, but...
What?
You know, Rose might not know what the hell I'm talking about. Yeah, no, see,
I don't even know what you're talking about. To be
4chan
honest,
was so you had 4chan, we had these were like a internet message boards. So gotcha. Think of basically
Black Planet,
think of like a Reddit. This was like pre Reddit, right?
Reddit,
but they were like bare minimum, there was not a lot of HTML, and you would go on these rooms.
Hey, bro, come on now.
And people
dog.
Would control these rooms. It was really like, it's the same model as like Discord and Reddit and stuff like that. Now, it was more like Discord than Reddit. But
gotcha.
This is how a lot of us in the early computer communities, this is how we communicated, right? Like we would get into these channels and we would get into like, there was another one we used to do. I've had enough vodka that I don't remember now, but there was another one that we but yeah, we used to communicate in these channels. And I learned a proxy from there. But yeah, so I think it's interesting, you know, Ari and I, or HDZ, I'm gonna go HDZ right now because I still can't say that other name. HDZ and I, you know, we're both from the South, and
yo, I'm from the dirty South.
I'm from Memphis, bro. Like we talking the real. Anyway, we won't get into this.
Y'all from the South, but I'm weird.
All right, here we go.
When they say dirty,
go.
The boot is dirty. I'm from Louisiana.
Never seen somebody brag on being dirty in my life.
Hey,
I'm just saying. So first of all, I'm from Memphis, but if we talking South, you can't get no more Southern than where I'm at now.
Oh yeah,
it's so southern that
in Jacksonville.
It's so southern that it feels like a different country.
You're in Jacksonville, right?
No. Orlando. That man just straight up social engineered me into telling him where I live.
Real quick,
I want you to beep that out. I want you to beep that out in the edit, though. Thanks.
Let me see. That's at 28 minutes. You gotta remind me.
Beep the location. I'm gonna remind you. Beep the location out.
I'm gonna look for it. That's just reminding me. I meant to tell all the girls on Twitter, stop doing that. You from a place where they don't know fine girls at, right? On TikTok, right? So a girl will circle where they from and they'll hashtag it. It's like, so now we all know what exactly city you stay in.
Oh, that's a whole nother thing. The dangers of the internet for black women. That's a whole nother podcast, man. But you know, the question I had was,
let's get a little upbeat again.
Yeah, the question I had was, like, us coming from a different region of the country, we almost kind of looked at the West Coast as like, I don't know, just like this mecca of like, in our minds, as y'all were going through grade school, y'all were like, y'all had the like the Iron Man Jarvis shit, like the AI shit that y'all turn around. Like in our minds, that's what was happening over there. But I love that you kind of said like, no, like the shared black experience of, you know, lack of resources going into our public school educations and lack of resources going into our community was still there. And I think that was there for a lot of us, which, you know, I think speaks to the accessibility of technology, right? The fact that all of us can sit here as technical professionals, having come from that same stuff, right? In different regions of the country, like, you know, I'm, you know, HDZ's in the South.
Most of us being first generation graduates.
Oh, I had a whole conversation about the stress and trauma of being first generation middle class the other day, and it opened my mind, because it's something we don't think about, right?
Yeah.
I had a whole conversation with my mom, who, you know, this ain't Eric's therapy hour, but I had a whole conversation with. I think I had my first. And you can play the claps for this. I think I had my first adult conversation with my mom like a week ago. For real. I think I had my first. Thank y'all. Thanks everybody. It was weird because it was like it was the first time. It was one of those moments where we were talking, and we slipped into just talking. And this is how I knew I was having an adult conversation. We were talking, and without even thinking, I was like, shit, I don't know. And I was like, whoa, like, whoa. I mean, shoot, she was like, you all right? And I was like, oh, I'm grown now. But
did you say a lie when you was a younger?
Could I say a lie? No, we had to say tell a story.
Like, could you call somebody? That's what I'm saying. Like, what about you? Could you call somebody a lie?
Oh, me? I feel like mine is a little bit different. I grew up in like a black family, but it's weirdly, I grew up as the youngest child, but I was the only child raised by my mom. So I have like youngest child syndrome as well as only child syndrome. So that means I'm an independent crybaby that doesn't know how to accept no. And if when I hear no the first time, I'm gonna go do it myself because I have a hard time asking for help. So.
Yeah, you're definitely crybabies. My sister is the baby. She's 14 this year.
You got a 14-year-old sister?
14-year-old sister.
Play the claps for your parents, bro. Play the claps for your parents, bro.
My dad started over at 40. Damn. My mom was 36. Damn. So I have a brother. I have a brother right under me that's 18 that's finna go to LA Tech. And a brother that's going to be a senior this year that's 17. And then my baby sister that's going to be her first year in high school this year.
Shout out to Deezy's parents for still keeping the spark alive.
I'm a sophomore. I'm a sophomore in high school. And I'm telling everybody, yeah, I got a new baby sister. They're like, what? Yeah, my sister was just born last night.
So I'm actually the baby. Yeah, I'm the baby. Yeah, I'm the baby and the only boy.
So you was the brat when you was little. And you got
super brat. I'm the baby and the only boy. Super brat. So Rose, I'm right here with you on the like, did you tell me no? Like, I'm right there with you. All right. So
I think that was everybody because I was on the chat for like 12 years. So I think I feel like I can identify with y'all as well.
Yeah, you can. You can. You did your time. You did your time. So all right. So to get back to threat hunting. All right. So you come out of school. You're already in this world that's full of basically white male introverts who I'm assuming probably didn't give you, you know, as much respect and as much like acknowledgement and recognition as you earned. What was entering the career field like then? Right after school, you're out of school. You know, you got the same education as a bunch of these other West Coast graduates. What's entering the career field like?
So when I started applying for jobs, I kind of was already at a low place because all my classmates in my last year were like, I already got a job before I graduated. I got multiple offers and here I am like sending my resume to people, not really knowing what exactly I wanted to do. I didn't have any hits. I was going through like interviews. I think I went through like 2 interviews and they kind of like ghosted me. And then finally had a hit on one, which is the company I work for now, and it was for computer forensics. My whole plan was to enter a narrow field so that way when I actually do go job hunting, a lot of people aren't actually going into computer forensics, so I have a leg up. So I have this
whole That's a nugget.
she niched into that.
Yeah.
Let me go ahead and clip this because she
that's a nugget. Going into a niche market is it's very essential. I often tell people when they start their careers, like, and me and Deezy has talked about this, like, you have to really, really quickly figure out what you want to specialize in. Generalists always have jobs. Specialists make tons of money. That's one of the things I say to my mentees. Generalists always have jobs. Specialists retire at 45.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's ultimately the goal. So I think that's a gem. What you said is that you picked something that was niche enough that you were gonna sort of jump the competition. I think I did that because right when I started, everybody was into red teaming. Everybody wanted to be a pen tester. Like in 2017, everybody wanted to be a pen tester. I think we had just all collectively just found out about the job. Everybody wanted to be a pen tester, and I sort of did the exact same thing you did. Definitely not as niche as forensics. That's a whole nother level.
Listen, I might have to pay you to show me forensics.
I'm gonna have to pay you to not show me forensics, because listen, I did one course on dead box forensics, and I was like, nah, this is trash. They started looking through memory modules and that was me.
It's not that bad. Yeah. A lot of stuff is in e-discovery now, so it's a lot easier as opposed to taking a whole image of a computer and looking through stuff and using, I think it was like SDK. I only had class experience, but I was lucky enough to have or go to a school where we actually had resources to use the tools that was being used in like the real world. But continue on with
that is a big thing.
Juniper, the company that I'm for now for computer forensics, and long story short, when I first interviewed, it was in the middle of midterms. I was coming from LA going to San Francisco to do the whole interviews and everything. So I did the interview. I thought I did cool. I thought it was at like my dream company. I was right across the street from Google because Google was like a place that I wanted to be. And then I go back home, start testing for midterms, and then I get this message from my manager, now old manager, basically saying, we believe you would do better at a fast-paced place such as like a consulting firm. And we believe that in the role of digital forensics, you may be innocent bored because it's by the book. And like I said earlier, I'm an independent crybaby who has a hard time with the answer no. So at first I got sad, then I got mad, and then I was like, okay, well, I feel like you don't necessarily have the right to tell me that I'm going to be bored in a position that I apply to. So if you, I believe I have every value that this company offers, and I believe that I'll be a value to the team. So if you let me prove myself, then we can talk about if I'm actually bored. And then we can go from there. And if I am bored, then we can take it to the next step. So I wrote that rebuttal letter, sent it over to my manager, got another interview, but this time it's with the CISO. Same thing, I had to fly back. No, this time I took mega bus back, took an 8-hour trip back down to San Francisco in the middle of
mega bus?
Yeah.
Oh, you was risking it all.
All of it.
You was getting it.
Mega buses stop at gas stations. They don't even stop at bus stations. They're just like, yo, we finna get some gas. And if you get back on, you get back on.
No, for real. I've experienced so many times of people being like dead ass left from Megabus because they didn't come back in time. Like, whoop, feel
that. Megabus, like, I'm finna fuel up and hey, I'm not doing a head count or nothing. Like, I'm pulling off.
Right. Real quick before you finish, I had thought about some, it's like a dad corny joke, but you know, it's been that Usher meme going around with that. Watch this.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I thought about like you doing a meme, talking some, oh, don't worry. I delete everything off my computer. And then you come in. So watch this.
That was super dad joke. Platinum dad joke.
You should.
Yeah, definitely.
That's a good TikTok.
Yes. But, yeah, so
that's where I found you, Rose. TikTok.
Oh, shit, I'm all over the place.
I found her on Instagram. I think she just popped up in my somebody used to follow.
All right.
Yeah, you know, I'm just trying to put my name out there, get as many networking, get my name out there so people can see me.
Oh, you got it. This the best tech podcast out right now.
The cool. Best. You got HDZ, who's level-headed, who has a great network, and then you got me, who just post hot takes on Twitter all day. So either way, people are going to see it.
It's kind of like Professor X and Magneto.
I'm Magneto, 100%.
I'm Charles.
I'm like this close to being a villain. Magneto was not a villain, by the way. I would argue.
He wasn't. He was right.
Fully debate that. Magneto was right. Thanos was right. Killmonger was right. All right. Hot take. Jafar was right.
Scar wasn't right.
Scar was the ops. Scar was definitely the ops. Scar was the ops. But
no, I mean, you know, Charles can you know, get it in if he want to, kind of like how I did today. The cerebral assassin, where I kind of wait.
Listen,
I give you enough rope to hang yourself.
I'm not going
to
talk about today right now because my boss slid in and was like, hey, I see what you're doing. And I was like, you know what? I'm a relax. My boss definitely slid in and was like, remember, you got students that follow you. And I was like, yeah, you know, I do.
That's why I did it tactfully. That's why I did it tactfully for a reason.
Ain't got no tactful. And I'm so sorry, Rose, if you came on this podcast and we're like, oh, these guys are going to have like a structure, an agenda. No, we are the most random. And you know what? It's actually me. HDZ would stay on topic if it wasn't for me. I am the Joker.
Not all the time.
I am here for the chaos. I'm here to create chaos and savagery. That's what I'm here for.
I don't always have like questions or nothing. I just let it go. And I'm like a huge fan of the Joe Budden podcast. So I just like to let it flow.
Well,
like,
I meant more so you're a really good interviewer. And I'm just like, I treat everything like I just met this person at a bar for happy hour. So.
But it's entertaining though. So
yeah,
that's the thing. We're getting people to stay listening. So okay, what next they gonna talk about? But you know, now we're gonna go right back.
see what I mean?
Here. No, we're gonna go right back into what she was talking about.
So pushing it forward, I think it was 20 minutes before I actually graduated off stage, I got a text from my manager saying, hey, I usually don't do this on the weekend because it was Sunday, but we have a job offer for you. I was like,
Why are you walking across stage?
Like 20 minutes before I'm about to walk off the stage. Like we're sitting here.
You're saying it like you're telling a story, but it's coming across like you're flexing. I'm going to just be honest.
I mean, either way.
So
since you from the Bay, like, did you start doing, like, I ain't finna ask you, like, what set you from?
She gonna bang on you, bro.
What walk you started hitting once you got off that stage?
So on stage, it was raining. Well, on my actual graduation day, it was raining. So I walked on stage and it was drenched and everybody was trying to go hecka fast. But for Black grad, I was definitely lit. You know, the whole Bay thing, like, hey, shout out to so forth, shout out to everybody. I had this whole speech ready and everything. But at my regular graduation, I was just trying to get it over with because it was raining and I was
I dated a girl from Antioch once.
Isn't that Michigan?
Whoa. Back up, DZ. What was that, Rose?
I don't know. Tell me more. What was she like?
I dated a girl from Antioch and I dated a girl from Pittsburgh.
Sorry.
These are Bay Area cities.
Black and yellow.
These are Bay Area cities.
You didn't specify. I thought about Wiz Khalifa.
Pittsburgh, I don't really know. Antioch is kind of like on the outskirts. Like you can't even get to it on BART. I feel like if you can't get to a place in the quote unquote Bay Area on BART, it's not actually part of the Bay Area.
Was she capping with me? Was she capping with me? Because she repped the Bay hard. Like, she put me on. So remind you, this is like in 2008, 2009. She put me on like Vans. Got my Vans on, but they look like sneakers.
Hey, Lil B, shout out to Lil B, the bass guy.
Lil B, the bass guy. Protect Lil B at all.
That's my song. Hey, protect Lil B. Hey, that song in riding in my car. I used to like that right there.
She put me on all them. But what you're telling me now is that she wasn't really Bay Area. So now I gotta call her and be like, "Hey, yo, you kept," and then just hang up.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people like claim the Bay Area, like you grew up.
Put it on wax. Save the clip. She just told me to call her and tell her you kept and hang up. She told me to call her ex and say you kept. Rose said it. Rose, you said it, right?
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
I'm so childish because I just thought about something. I went to a school with a girl whose name was Rose Star Rose. And I just thought about that. We've been saying Rose. So I said, I went to school with Rose Rose. Hey, listen, Rose, if you ever come across it, shout out to Rose Rose real quick.
You know what? We're going to keep it PG-13. I'm just move past that.
That's for like a Twitch stream.
That's for one of our live streams where we're all.
Do you play Xbox?
Rose, do you play Xbox?
No. Oh, I'm not even saying like that, but no, I don't really play games.
We all play, and then we say the wildest stuff because every now and then, when the universe aligns, you'll get like five or six cybersecurity people really drunk just playing a game terribly. We're having a great time.
Now, your man's carried us. Whatever. I don't know how he carried us.
Oh, yeah, he carried us. You know what? I told him like a couple of days after that at work. I was like, bro, I don't think you was drinking like the rest of us. Because he was doing like real competitive numbers. And we was just trash. Like, we was just running around the map. Just getting popped. Bing. Bing. All right, cybersecurity. Yeah, that's what we're here to talk about.
Right, right. Let's shift gears. And so you said this was 20. When did you say you graduated again?
2019.
Okay, so we're gonna say 3 years. I'm still good with my math. I ain't drunk that much. All right. So in those 3 years, I'm trying to do it like this, right? Because you said I'm gonna touch on something. Let me clip it right here. It's funny how I should be like the women and say, I think it's funny how anytime you get a text like that, it's going to be a bad conversation.
If I get it, I think it's funny how text, I'm 100% not reading the rest of it.
God. On God, just put your phone on do not disturb.
No, but if I get it, I think it's funny how text. I'm 100% blocking that number.
Do it for the game.
Rose is my wing. Look, Rose is my wingman for life. Like she's just like we need to make sure so with the shits. Like
we need to make sure Rose is protected at all costs. And
Rose is a gem. She's a diamond. And like, listen, she just endorsed my extremely toxic behavior, and I am here for it.
Hey, I'm not dealing with this shit.
That's true.
Back on topic.
So I was gonna say it's funny how like your experience with coming out of college was similar to probably about most black people. I know for me, CIS didn't really prepare me for nothing, and I'm just throwing some hoping it will land. I literally just did a solo episode about I looked up and got the help desk role because I didn't no guidance, no specializations. I took a forensics class in undergrad. I'm trying to see what other class I took that was cool. And I had a sec plus, but other than that, I ain't had no skills, right? But it's funny how you said the same thing. It's like, I'm just sending them out. Everybody else got offers and, you know. But that's because they had something you didn't. They had a network.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to say whiteness.
I mean, that too, the complexion for detection.
My bad.
But that too. No, because I mean, like, think about it. Like, right now, my company right now, like, if I know a young person or whatever, and I'm looking at the emails, hey, anybody so-and-so, JPMC is doing their internships, like, hit me up. I'll tell you what to put on there so you can get an internship. Because once you get a couple of internships, you pretty much will be straight before you graduate.
Yeah, I mean, I think the network is important because, like DZ, even me and you, like, we're in a couple of group texts where it's like a you know, and I'm glad your podcast listeners on here. For anybody who is a, you know, I don't know if I want to announce this yet. We'll talk about it in a second. But if you're in college and you're in Georgia or Florida, like, stay plugged into HDZ. I'm going to say that right now. More on that to come. But I've had some recent opportunities that, you know, months before they manifest, I reach out to my people and be like, hey, do you have a mentee? Do you have a candidate that, like, you know what I'm saying? And so I think to HDZ's point, like, that does make a huge difference because, you know, when I get a rec, right, for my SOC, before that rec goes out, weeks before that rec goes out, I'm literally in my group text like, hey, y'all got somebody with a security plus and a year of experience who can do XYZ.
And I can attest to that.
You know what I mean? Right. And it's literally like, hey, the rec ain't out yet. Send me your person. Mm-hmm. I will talk to them today. So yeah, I mean, to his point, you know, that network is, and I think that's important for your listeners to know, like, that networking is really important because, I mean, shit, HDZ, I'm looking at my text now. We were in a group text 2 days ago for something that's not happening until November. And I text them and was like, hey, I'm putting this on y'all radar. I'm leading a committee for this. Like, start getting y'all people together.
Right. No, even if we go to, like, outside of internships, like, I think I've said it before on a couple of episodes, but like I was put in the process for this role from Liberty Mutual and shout out to this podcast, because this podcast has helped me expand my network, right? And I was talking to, shout out to Jennifer Jordan. We did the episode from military to cybersecurity.
Nice.
And she works for Liberty Mutual. And we was talking, I was telling her, hey, I ain't like my company. And she said, send me a resume real quick. I sent it to her and her manager seen it and he wanted me to apply for a rec that wasn't finished just yet. Mm-hmm. And this was for, I think it was a cyber threat. It was some type of management role for like dealing with like cyber threat hunting, cyber threat intelligence, I think. But that wasn't even published yet. So we're just saying like how important it is to have a network so you can get those opportunities, you know, because they like you first, they ain't really got to even interview no more. You good. On top of somebody referred you, and if that person, and it's an added benefit of it, if the person that referred you be on their game at work, it's going to make you look even better.
Absolutely.
Yeah, actually, like when I was in college, I didn't know that it was such a big network of Black people in cybersecurity because I was living within the walls of my college. So I felt like I was literally alone. I didn't have any role models. I can say I went through multiple breakdowns, mental breakdowns in college of like, when am I going to actually graduate? Who can I look up to? Who can I talk to? Nobody in my family has experienced this before. So I felt like alone. But when I got out of college and I finally got into the, got into my career, I kind of did more research. There was a lot of different Facebook groups. One thing that I did on LinkedIn to grow my network was basically search up people who were inside of computer forensics or who were inside of cybersecurity or anything in tech, and basically just started adding people, like the max of adding people every single day, while sending a note saying, hey, my name is Babette Jackson. I'm looking to add people within the field.
That's a gem. That custom note, custom note. Like I really hate to keep cutting you off, but you're dropping so much good shit. Like that custom note, like, hey, this is who I am. Mm-hmm. This is what I want to do. Because I'm gonna be honest with you. DZ has to check me about this all the time. I've been doing this for a very long time. I'm one of those old curmudgeons that people talk about. I got my first tech job in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
I'm one of those old curmudgeons that people talk about who's just like, oh shit, you can't write 720 line scripts from scratch. You can't work in cybersecurity. Like to my boy's credit, he'll check me sometimes. Sometimes he'll say, E, it's a different world. There's different technology out there. You can't expect people to come up.
Because I can't do it. I'm just keeping this.
He checks me sometimes. And also, this is why you got to get peers who aren't afraid to tell you the truth. Because sometimes he'll come to me and be like, bro, you tripping. Like, ain't nobody got to know that shit. And I'm just like, man, you know what you write. You know what I'm saying? But to your point, like, I think it's important that message, when I get that message, like, hey, this is who I am. This is what I want. This is how you can help.
Mm-hmm.
For me, that lays it out so clearly for me. Because I can't tell you how many people I get who are just like, hey, I'm so-and-so-and-so, glad to connect. And I'm like, yeah, me too. Like, what else am I don't know what else to do with that. Whereas, like, if you come to me and you say, hey, my name is Rose. I'm interested in detection and response. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for resources that I can use to learn the fundamentals of detection and response.
Mm-hmm.
I'm immediately like, here you go. But I can't tell you how valuable that is for people who are listening and who are just starting, because I get people all the time who are just like, hey, I'm Charles. Good to connect with you. Yeah, cool.
So it's twofold. Like, if you're watching this like right now, go buy my ebook, because I actually give you some scripts that I actually used to send when connecting with people, especially with recruiters or hiring managers or somebody that's on a team you're trying to apply to a job for. I got scripts that I used to use. Now, what I may do is, and maybe it's me being, I don't want to say biased, right? But some people know who I am, some people don't, but I just hit connect and most people connect with me. But then if I need something from them, I don't want to say need. If I need their help with something, I will immediately message them and say, hey, you know, good morning. How you doing? I'm looking for this. Like today, I reached out to a recruiter about something. And I said, hey, I applied to blah, blah, blah. And they said, oh, yeah, I just saw that. What's your availability this week? Boom. And we set something up.
Listen.
Because I know my recruiter friends say, hey, please let us know what you apply to, because it helps us out. But if you're a listener or a viewer right now and you are looking for a mentee or something like that, you need some help with something, what Eric said, what Rose said, it's important, because you need to let me know. And once you send me that initial one, send me another email about how you could be valuable to me, so I don't feel like I'm actually coaching you instead of mentoring you. And that's one of the things I tell people all the time. Like, I was telling somebody, asked me, do I take mentees or whatever? And I was saying, I do. But it depends. Like Dayspring has always been a mentee. Dayspring has like 12,000 subscribers right now on YouTube, and he's a freaking cloud engineer at Datadog. Like within a span of 2 years. So I knew he was destined to be great. But you have to show me you already been putting in work and what you're doing if I want to mentor you, opposed to you just wanting me to tell you everything to do. I'm going to leave you on red.
But you know, DZ, I think the three of us kind of represent the three different pillars of that, right? Because you are very much a career coach, right? Like I even come to you when I'm like, man, hey, I'm thinking about this move, you know, I'm not sure. Like, how do you feel about it? Right. Whereas I am more of a technical coach. I'm a teacher. Like you know, and then you got somebody like Rose who can kind of like help guide you through that onboarding and that getting into the field process. I think that's an important piece too. Like knowing who you're talking to, you're talking to, like you know, all the time, I tell people all the time, hey, I'm not a career coach. I can't help you manage your career. And the reason I say I'm not a career coach is because, and I don't say this as like to be a gatekeeper or to be a curmudgeon. I say this because I'm so far removed from the I'm trying to break in like mindset.
Yeah.
I'm so far removed from that. I would literally be probably more of a hindrance than I would be a help. Like I'm so far, like my homegirl, shout out to Pentest Princess,
shout out to Sierra.
I'm so far removed from that process that there are times, and DZ knows this, I'll send him entry level people and be like, hey bro, I can't give them what they need because I'm at a level now, at a level and an experience. I've been in this shit. Damn, I don't want to say on recording. 18 years. 18 years, yeah. I've been doing this.
Because I'm right at 10. Yeah, right at 10 for me.
I'm at 18 years. Bro, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know how to break into tech. Not in 2022.
But No. See, hold on, let me clip this because here's the problem. I had buddy messaged me the other day. And of course, these are message requests when it comes to Instagram. Hey, do you help people break into tech? I wanted to be rude and say no, because I help people get into cybersecurity. I don't just help you get into tech, because tech is another thing.
Yeah.
It's too vague because tech is a buzzword that people are using to sell stuff. I'm like, no, it's too many roles and industries within the umbrella of tech that I cannot help you with. Mm-hmm. But if you are trying to get into cybersecurity, I can help you. Because if I say I help everybody and get into tech, I've had people reach out to me for stuff that, quite frankly, is not what I'm best suited for. So when they do that, I say, hey, I'm not good at this, but hey, go holler at Salesforce Kim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, so cool. Hey, you want to learn
one
about?
One second, I'm about to let the Beyonce out. Hold on one second.
Yeah.
Or I say, hey, if you, Sisu say you're going to let the Beyonce out. Oh, I get it now. I got a Beyonce shirt on. He's in a beehive.
Oh, yeah. I had to let the Beyonce out.
But yeah, it's crazy. I have a bunch of people coming to me too, talking about, hey, can you help me break into
send them my way. I'll give you some money.
I'll definitely send them your way. And a lot of people, it's interesting because I took the traditional route of like the college route. And when it comes to cybersecurity, a lot of people are no longer taking the traditional route of college, and people are going with boot camps and everything. So when people come to me and it's like, hey, can you help me break into cybersecurity? And I'm like, what? They're like, what's the best boot camp? And I'm like, look, I don't know, but here I have the thing that I do. I've copied and pasted a long summary of cybersecurity, like, tell me what you want to do with cybersecurity. Why are you interested in cybersecurity? Here's a roadmap that goes into there. You want to be an analyst, the whole roadmap of everything. Then I also have like all these different Facebook groups that you can go to where people can be more resourceful for me. You can ask those specific questions and they'll directly reach out to you so you know you're not alone. I have strategies when it comes to adding people on LinkedIn. I just have a copy and paste stuff. So here, I'll provide this for you. You can do the work, And if you have any more questions or you need anything else, then we can set up a meeting face-to-face. But you have to read everything that I sent you. You have to do the work behind the scenes.
I love it.
Make sure you charge them.
Yeah, and if I can
see, but I'm
wait. I'm gonna interject. Hang on, wait. Let me.
But we'll get into that.
I'm gonna tell you
because you and I have had conversations about that. You and I have had conversations about that. Of like,
but I need to interject.
What's coaching and what's not? Rose, you when you said yeah, but look, and coach, I start. That's why I said because me and HD are kind of like on this.
But look, I need to interject so I can plug some in to help me out. If you are looking for a boot camp to take, go to cyberwarrior.com, not Cyber Warrior Studios, cyberwarrior.com, and check out that boot camp.
Cyber Warrior Studios part, but okay.
I had to let them know. I'm talking about cyberwarrior.com. When you sign up, let them know that I told you about it. It helps me out, helps this channel out, helps my content out. And yeah, I have changed my mind a little bit about boot camps because I have a client right now, and I will send you, matter of fact, I screenshotted what she asked me today, right? I'm going to send it to your phone right now. Okay. I don't have Rose's number, but I'm going to show you what they're working on. And I was like, you know what? This is a pretty dope project.
So Rose, the reason I was saying uh-oh is because HDZ and I have, we don't argue, right? Like we're two grown men who are in this profession. And when we disagree and we come to a point where we're just like, hey, I feel you. I don't agree with you. We just kind of stop. But it comes into the terms of like when that line comes from like mentoring and helping and coaching and like, you know what I mean? So
I kind of explained it though earlier from mentoring and coaching.
Well, you did, but you also know like the teacher in me is always just like any information I have, I'll give to you.
Right. Well, see, so I have, you know, I have blogs, I have YouTube, I have many people say, shout out to your channel and blog, you really help me out. But anything that past that, I would have to charge you for one because it take away time from my family and everything else. And a lot of people,
again, different situation. You probably, different situation.
Right. And you probably feel different because you don't charge right now, right? Mm. But if you were actively saying, hey, I'm going to start coaching people doing something that, people will waste your time if it's for free. But if they are wasting, if they spending their money, they're not going to waste their time. Now, I don't charge them how much I get paid an hour. I'm doing it just whatever, like just helping them. Even when I just charge them just for a consultation, I still end up helping them more than that.
See, so, but I mean, bro, you get into this whole conversation. Like I came across somebody and I'm, you know, when this is not the messy hour. So we're not going to do that. But I came across somebody who was charging people $200 for mentor sessions.
Hey, hold on. Is that the same person I sent you that time?
I'm not talking about nobody.
I don't even remember. I don't remember their name. I just, listen, yes, I don't remember their name, but they said.
Yes.
Listen,
they were charging people $200. Rose, we'll talk about that in the after show when we're not recording. But I mean, okay. So you take, okay. So for example, Rose, you came out of school 2019, right? Mm-hmm. You had the work ethic. Mm-hmm. You had the educational background. If somebody like that comes to me and say, hey, I'm a loaded gun and I need you to point me somewhere, I don't, there's nothing in me that wants to charge her for anything.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I guess, and again, DZ, me and you have talked about this. What you do and what I do is totally different. Right. What do I always say? I'm not a career coach. Anybody that asks me for career advice, I send them to you. Now, I can't tell you how to manage your career. I can't tell you how to move up. I can't tell you how to break into tech. I can't tell you how to do any of that. If you want to know the best way to if you want to know the best way to uncover, I don't know, lateral movement across Windows host, hit your boy up.
And go ahead and drop that real quick because that was an interview question one time for me. So you might as well just tell the people.
Yeah, no, I'll
we need to get my nugget right now.
We do need to.
How did it take lateral movement?
We do need to get into in some environment. Threat hunting. So I'm going to save that, but we do need to get into some hard threat hunting facts. But if you want to know how to detect lateral movement, how to detect persistence, how to detect like initial access and execution and those types of things, holler at your boy. I'm not going to charge you. But at the same time, a big thing that HDZ, and shout out to Tyrone at Cover Six Solutions. If you're ever interested in hands-on task and job focused training, look up Cover Six Solutions SOC Analyst Prep Course. The teacher is really great. He's cute. He's funny. He's brown skinned and he's also me.
And be on the lookout for SOC Senpai coming teachable to you.
Listen, near you. The SOC Senpai course that's coming. I ain't want to mention it, bro, but listen.
I'm speaking into existence because it's gonna force us to listen to do it.
The stuff that we have coming is different. I'm gonna say it like that. It's different. But anyway, I don't know. I think that we are at a point in our industry where, God, and I feel like we're getting into after dark topics now, but we're at a point in our industry where I think the lure and the attraction of the industry is becoming more of a selling point than people who can actually get jobs. Because I'm going to be honest with you, like, and we've seen this. All of us are cybersecurity professionals. Tech has become more popular. Vacancies,
last 2 years for
vacancies are getting bigger, right? No, and nobody's talking about that. Nobody's talking about the fact that it's harder to fill tech jobs now, even though tech is getting more popular, even though Microsoft increased their certification numbers by like 700, by like 7,000 over the last 2 years since the pandemic. They were giving out free certs at the last two Microsoft conferences. Like 7,000 people got certified, bro. Why are we not doing better? Why are we not bringing in innovators?
It's the hiring companies. Like, I just listened to a podcast. I talked to our CISO about this. Is that when it comes to the hiring companies, they're looking for people who have multiple years of experience. They're looking for people who specialize in something very specific. And they don't want to do the groundwork of hiring someone who doesn't necessarily have too much experience, but they have curiosity and they have passion and they can learn really fast, which means you don't have to train them for 3 years. All that training.
Or hit the ground running.
Exactly. Hit the ground running. A lot of people aren't looking into investing into, for example, people of color. And Black people, they're not looking to put in the time and the work to train them, give them an opportunity. They are looking inside of the same network with the same people and all this other stuff. When 9 times out of 10, the good talent is not going to be from the college route. The good talent may not even be from the boot camp route. The good talent is in the wild.
If a company gave me an unlimited budget to hire security analyst, and we're going to say people in incident response. Mm-hmm. And I got nothing but Black women that's been on Facebook for the last 10 years. I guarantee you we would have the best program in probably the whole world. Because
They would kill it. They would be.
They are already pros at lurking.
APTs. They would be attributing APTs like on a Thursday. Like, okay, so I got a hot take. I'm going to go grab my...
You want to talk about log analysis?
I'm going to go grab my Uber Eats order, and then I'm going to come back with this hot take, because I just ordered a bottle of Tito's.
What'd you order?
Eats. Just a bottle of Tito's, because this one's...
I thought you was on...
This one's done. I
thought you said DoorDash. You know, people bought like 27 bottles of Casamigos.
So, I'm going to say this. I'm going to say this, and this might lead us into another conversation. I think one of the problems with the experience expectations is the fact that these salaries have gotten too high. And I know that's a hot take. But I'm going to be honest with you. If I got analysts walking in through the door saying that their desired salary is 130, 140, I don't want to have to teach you how to do phishing, dog.
Hold on. Their salary is what?
130, 140. For analysts.
That is senior level.
No, that's
close to principal.
No. Hey, bro, it's not. People are putting 130, 140 as a desired salary on their analyst applications. And I'm like, that's fine, but I shouldn't have to teach you how to do maldocs. I shouldn't have to teach you how to unload PDF headers. I shouldn't have to teach you how to hey, listen, if you coming in getting 130, bro, like, if you see SVC host running from a fucking temp file, I shouldn't have to tell you what that means at 130. That's, but again, this is one of those reasons why I'd be like, yo, I've been doing this too long, because I remember getting my first help desk job making $30,000. I made
17 an hour.
I
for
made
me.
31.5. Rose, when I tell you, I was like, I made it. Mom, I have a career at 31.5. In my first help desk one job, I made 31.5. I got my first help desk job in 2011. I didn't make six figures until 2018. Mm-hmm. As a network engineer. Mm-hmm. People are expecting six figures as analysts who don't know anything. And
I think for me, it was
like,
2019.
You know, who don't know anything. It's like, hey, if I sent you a Microsoft Word document and asked you if it was malicious, would you know how to do it? And you know what they hit me with? And this, again, this is my struggle. They'll go, no, I don't know, but I'm willing to learn. I work for a fucking $152 billion company. I'm sorry, willing to learn don't do it for me.
That makes sense.
And this is coming from somebody who runs a stock. Willing to learn don't do it for me. I work for a $152 billion company. Willing to learn don't do it for me. You got to go willing to learn at that mom and pop.
So here's the other hot take, just to come back what you said. I think that when it came to 2020, they found out that they were paying cybersecurity people too low. Right. And I'll tell you, because they realized how much they actually needed us. Mm-hmm. When they had all these threats that they didn't plan for, and people working from home, working remotely. They didn't plan for all that stuff. They ain't plan for all these freaking influx of logs. Like, man, I tell you, that just, man, shit, our principal threat analyst was just like, hey, just throwing this plump. Like, logs just keeping on, like, piling on. Mm-hmm. They didn't plan for all that. So they didn't realize that. And then companies was losing people, going somewhere, and they getting, you know, $40,000 more because they was getting severely underpaid, you know. Not to mention, you throw in, you know, there's many people coming to the office, and now people can get that working remote. So he's right, though. People's expectations are a little too high. Like, my clients are, like, realistic. Like, I had clients that's like, you know, they offer me 65 or whatever. And I say, or I'm like, all right, well, try to get close to market value average. I don't say try to get some outrageous number, because my first offer at McAfee was, I was working at the Knock. Currently, I was getting $48,000 a year, and they offered me $20,000 more than that. So $68K plus whatever the bonus was. I didn't even negotiate, because I was like, 20K more? Bet. And I could have got more, because the first number they gave me was 68. I probably could have got 75, 85. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. I'm not mad at the people getting the money. I'll never say what somebody shouldn't get. But the issue becomes, I wish I had this to post or show you right now. I was reading something, and it was showing how people who were loyal to companies actually missed out on people who were newly brought in, got paid more than them. Mm-hmm. So that's the big issue. You're bringing people in that I got to train that's making more than me, but I know more than them. Mm-hmm. You're not, you know, the mindset to say, hey, let's do a comp readjustment and let's see if we're paying this person fairly. Because my last company is Goldman Sachs, and I was just looking at my LinkedIn name. Always stays on open to work. It's never going to change. And I'm seeing what they hit me with, and now I was what I was getting. And I had talked to my managing director. That's like the manager over the managers, over like most of the managers. And I had asked them, "Hey, when y'all do comp? How does it work? To if I want to get a you know comp evaluation? Oh, they do it at the end of the year." That told me all I need to know. That was pretty much a no, and we do it how we do it. Mm-hmm. My company before that, I asked my manager. She said, yeah, reach out to this HR person. She works with our client and on our deal. They said, oh, yeah, what's your experience with blah, blah? And then I end up getting, what was like a $8,000 raise, whatever type of raise I got. Mm-hmm. But I end up getting a raise because they actually took the time to look at my salary and give me some more money.
Yeah.
So I think that's one of the things like some companies not doing. They losing some good talent just because of pay. Like people trying to offer like, and this is a, I talk about this a lot, right? I clipped it, but I'm trying to see if we all talk about it. And I heard it on another podcast, right? One of the hardest things about being in tech is that if your other friends aren't in tech or cybersecurity, where you want to say it, I just said tech because if I put this on TikTok, people gonna watch it. Mm-hmm. Is that you will seem, I want to say you seem out of touch, but if you try to talk to your friends that have normal jobs, you're not, I'm not saying you're looking down on them, but you're kind of like, in your mind's like, why are you putting up with this for this amount of pay? Mm-hmm. Or sometimes you can't even share with them that, hey, you know, you just got whatever raise, but this company just gave me like $30,000 more just to, you know, do a whatever job. Like, you can't really say that because they're going to come up saying it's, you know, you bragging or you big money or you got it. It's hard to do that. So you sometimes kind of are isolated and don't have friends you can really talk about money with unless they're making money. And so that's one of them conversations.
For me, it was kind of like the opposite. So in the whole thing with coming out of college, I started at 75K, full disclosure. And at the time, from making $12.50 an hour to going to 75K, I thought I made it. But then I was making that for 3 years, and they just did a market value check. They found out that I was getting underpaid significantly.
Yes, because you're on the West Coast.
Yeah.
75K on the West Coast out of college?
Yeah, that sounds really long.
I'm sorry. I walked in the middle, like, but that sounds.
Yeah. So
everybody virtually blessed the bottle. Virtually blessed the bottle. Hey, Rose is my favorite. She gang.
I'm trying to see what Rose throwing up, though.
Right. She gang all the way. Hey, she with it. She with it. We're not sponsored. Hey, so I'm not gonna show the label. We're not sponsored, but you know, we are enjoying ourselves.
You're not sponsored.
But yeah,
they don't pay us to show labels.
But yeah, I started making 75K just this year. They adjusted my salary. And then before my manager left, he gave me a gift of a raise, and to basically make the point, I'm still not at 100K yet. And once I was supposed to get the raise before my manager left, and I was supposed to be over 100K. And the reason why they said that they didn't give me over 100K is because I recently just got a raise, which I'm kind of irate about and I'm mad about, because the raise that I did get was a adjustment. And going into how many years of experience that I have and the other places within Silicon Valley, I'm still 50,000K underpaid. So,
what do you do?
I'm going to say 100.
You're on the GRC side?
No, she's not on the GRC side.
No, I'm an information security analyst and I'm an L3. So, I should be.
We're going to talk after this.
We're gonna talk because I got,
because we might need you. You know what? We're gonna talk after this.
Look, you know, you gotta hit him with the you down to relocate.
If you don't want the producer all in your videos, like all on the song, come to Death Row, is all I'm saying.
I'm gonna tweet that about somebody.
I hope my company on the TV.
You saw something you like?
Yeah, I am actually interviewing for TikTok.
Nice.
So I did want to, because I know we were,
I got connections everywhere, so just let me know.
I know we were going to talk about threat hunting. I did want to kind of drop some gems there. Because we'll keep talking all night, and I wanted to make sure, you know, we gave the people who were like, oh, I thought this was going to be technical. So let me drop them a little bit of something. So, as somebody who is, you know, considered an experienced threat hunter, I think that the most important thing, or I won't say most important thing, but one of the most foundational things is how you think as a threat hunter. Before you get into the technical stuff, before you get into, you know, all of that other stuff, like the most the most critical thing is understanding how to think. A book.
I think that's for like all roles.
Well, I think it's specifically for threat hunting because I often tell my analysts this is that our job starts when the data stops making sense. Right? Like if our job was just to look at the data, because that's what a lot of people think cybersecurity is. They think like, oh, I'm gonna put this hash in virus total, and virus total is gonna tell me if it's malicious. Or
which
listen, I love virus total. Stop. I love virus total.
I do too. But that don't mean it's gonna be that don't necessarily mean it's good or bad. Mm-hmm. Like it could be totally bad and it's showing all green check marks. No, why? Because the thing just was made and it's not been on nobody's
you gotta deal dig yet. Deeper. You gotta dig deeper. And so that's what I often tell my analysts. Like
shout out to Tanium and CrowdStrike.
Here's a clip. Get it HDZ.
I got you.
The job of a threat hunter, SOC analyst, threat intelligence analyst starts when the data stops making sense. That's where it starts. And so one of the things that I often tell people, the first thing is a book I always recommend. It's called The Psychology of Intelligence Analysis. This book basically breaks down psychological things about.
Y'all, he never recommended that book to me.
Dude, stop. It basically breaks down these things that you need to understand, like how to remove unconscious bias from your analysis. Right. Mm-hmm. A lot of us. So, for example, and DZ, me and you talked about this. I'm really good at persistence and lateral movement. So when I and network forensics. So immediately when I approach something, those are the things I want to go look for. But I have to step away and say,
but that's your bias, though.
Right. I have to step away and say, you know what? Let me not be like, oh, I'm going to dig until I find the lateral movement and miss everything else. Or I'm going to dig until I find the persistence and miss everything else. You know,
I definitely know how that is, though.
That's the first thing. We got to remove our bias. And then the second thing is, this is the first thing. Let me append this. The first thing is rule out false positives. Rule out false positives first. There is nothing worse than
get rid of the noise.
There is nothing worse than spending days on a hunt just to find out that a change went in that you didn't read the CAB report, and a change went in that you weren't aware of. And the whole team is hunting for it now.
Right, but look. Here to come in part with the money and stuff, right? That's where seasoned people come in because 4 years ago, when we started on that big contract that I had at my old job, you know, the documentation is so horrible, you don't know what's good or bad. Yeah. Logs been dropping the Q radar. You're trying to look at the trends and see what's what. I mean, now, most seasoned people kind of know certain type of names. 9 times out of 10, it's a service account. But you might get a new person, that 130, 140 person, they finna spin a revolver on that because they ain't never seen a service account before.
Well, that's where we come. But, you know, you and I have talked about this is that, like, when you say the word SOC, people immediately think entry level. Like I got dragged on Twitter once about, like, my SOC interview questions. And I was like, hey, people, I'm sorry, we got a red team in our SOC. We have a full pen testing red team in our SOC. We have engineers in our SOC. Like, I am a DNR engineer. I work in a SOC. I think people sort of hear SOC and they think it's all entry level. Like, I'm a cloud security detection and response engineer. I'm an endpoint security detection and response engineer. I'm a threat intelligence analyst, and I manage a TIP, which for those of you
don't know. And he has a CISSP, y'all.
We don't talk about that. I do have a CISSP. That bitch right there, too. Ah, shiny. Let me see. It's right next to my Ruby Bridges poster, because, you know.
I love her. Oh, my God. it's my favorite book.
You know. Hey, bro, I've been telling you to go ahead and get it, bro.
I got it.
You know, but I think, you know, people don't realize, like, I work in a sock. Everybody hears sock and they immediately think entry level, entry level, entry level. Bro, I work in a sock.
That's because they think about, so I work for, I used to work for an MSSP. So it's two sides. You got the MSS type of sock and then you got an actual sock. Mm-hmm. So that's, most people's, an entry level sock is the MSS. Whatever, they just literally get the alert, look at it, and route it to whoever. Any other sock, internal, or whether, you know, the client lets them do more things, they're actually investigating, they're actually coming up with things. Like, I had to meet with our engineers, so I was looking at tuning, like, all the time, looking at rules, looking at freaking crap, like, you know, we got hit with freaking, what did we get hit with? It wasn't while I was at work one day. I think I might have been on break or something. I got hit with
Wave Browser. Wave Browser is the new shit.
Hey, oh, man, Wave Browser, listen. Fuck Wave Browser, let me clip that. Bro. I got hype. If you got CrowdStrike in your environment, it will alert 9 times out of 10 on Wave Browser, and it's hell because it will Wave blow browser. Up.
Yeah, I got a dope ass removal script for Wave Browser. I'll send it to you.
We had one too.
Is it PowerShell script?
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. And you just SSH into the host from CrowdStrike and you remove it.
We got the same one. Fuck Wave Browser.
Yep. Facts. But I was gonna say, like, so the things that I brought up is, like, I ain't gonna lie, hey, tidbit, this is how I really be, this is how I always get, like, I can get an interview for, like, sock lead or whatever. I have a highlight that say, hey, I took a sock from whatever and raised the maturity to 3. That always stick out. Cause it was for a fact at a 0 when we started 4 years ago. That thing's still in good shape from some of the good work I did. Matter of fact, the people that's there now is tearing it down because they hired the wrong personalities. And that might be a whole nother show when we talk about how people just think just because they can do something, they need to be the person that do it. But personalities play a big part.
Personalities play a big part.
Selected for jobs and for leadership, because people, you a tier 2, so what? Like, we, our job is to make sure that the company is intact to keep on making money. Well, that's our SOC, number one goal.
In our SOC, no one person can make a decision about anything. In our SOC, everything. So we have 3 levels. We have what's called a 2-man. We have a 2-man is the default. So let's say me and Rose. So let's say I'm working on something. You know, now as her teammate, it's my job to do my threat intel, do my OSINT. Like, you know, do all the stuff I need to do, map it to a MITRE attack tactic. And then I go to Rose and I say, Rose, look at this. I'm not going to tell you what I think. I'm not going to tell you anything I came up with, because again, that's eliminating that unconscious bias. Look at this and see what you get. That's the 2-man. The second level of that we have is what's called a sanity check. So
I'm using this on an interview.
So if once we go through 2-man, If so, let's say me and Rose look at this and we both are just like, nah, I see something different. I see something. She's like, it's benign. And I'm like, nah, I think this is, you know, I think this is a defensive agent. And she's like, nope, it's benign. And I'm like, no, it's definitely a defensive agent. So then we go to you, DZ, and be as an engineer and be like, hey, we need a sanity check. So now you don't get her report or my report. You look at it and you look at the reports, you look at the data, you look at everything we've collected, and then you make a decision, right? And so now there's 3 of us involved. If any one of us says, hey, I want a security timeout because I don't think this person is making the right decision, we can go all the way to the CISO and say, this person is not making the right decision.
Oh yeah, y'all at a maturity level of a 5.
Well, I think it's more so. Well, one, you know, and this is
no, it's
this
a is, it's a 5, bro. This we is was at a 3.
Well, this is full disclosure, and I won't say my company, but DZ, you know, recent we've within the last decade been in the news for a major breach. So we invest in security, and Rose, I'll tell you who I work for a little bit later, but we've been in the news for a major breach that was I mean, when I say major, I mean like you could probably think of it in three guesses, but I'm not going to confirm or deny. So our security program has.
Yeah.
Security is a little bit more important for our company than it has been for a lot of other companies. But I think the misconception is that when somebody says SOC, people immediately think entry level. Like I am an engineer who's been doing security for 18 or who's been doing IT for 18 years and I work in a SOC. Mm-hmm. You know, it's and so mm-hmm. when we talk about threat hunting, that's why I tell people, you know, threat hunting is not something that we have to think about from an entry level perspective. So like, but one of the most difficult things is exactly what I told you about. My first thing, I have a lot of biases. I have a lot of biases. I've been doing this for a long time. I was a network engineer for 8 years, right? The first thing I want to do is go, oh, it's lateral movement. Why? Because I'm a network engineer and that's easy for me to find. And that means I can go home early. Right? But I have to remove that. So removing lateral, finding false positives, first of all, ruling out false positives is the most crucial step. And I think Rose can agree with this. You will spend so many cycles chasing down a false positive only for a systems engineer to be like, oh, yeah, we deleted those crypto keys 4 days later. And you're just like, we've been on this hunt for 4 days.
Yeah, definitely. Full disclosure, I have a hard stop at
6:15. 6:15? Yeah, I was getting ready. Yeah, she's on 2 hours.
Oh, my God. You're right.
I was getting ready to wrap that up because she did say 8, and I got confused. I thought she meant 8 her time.
All right, let's get her questions, and then we can get mine later.
Well, no, this deserves a part two because of we like went into like a lot of stuff, but I feel like this is definitely like Patreon worthy for sure. Like,
yeah, I'm so down.
I feel like tonight is a After Dark episode worthy. I'm gonna just put it out there. Deezy, like I could go
but
sleep.
What questions you have to answer? No, I'm trying to do
so. So Rose, I have some questions. Top 5 technical skills that you would recommend for anybody who wanted to be a new threat hunter. Strictly technical skills.
So my story is different. I don't technically have a lot of technical skills. I have curiosity and passion, that drives me to find the answer quicker than the average person because I'm also lazy. So
Talk to us about that. I think those are good.
But I feel like having curiosity, passion and drive will put you above everybody. Due to the fact that you are going to be determined to find an answer, but also having the ability to communicate with people, communicate in a technical way,
that's a big one.
Technical people, but also being able to communicate for the business people, being able to communicate in a written way. I feel researching skills is really good, understanding where to go, cross-referencing different things, being able to read through different blogs and information, figuring out which one is trash and which one is actually true.
Big one.
And then on top of that, I feel like being able to learn fast and in a sense pivot, like you said, not really having a lot of bias in everything. And what else? Authenticity. Just being yourself in the world.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Feel like that deserves a whole other episode. But yeah, just being you and being able to, how do I say, being you and just being able to get into your groove of things, but also being able to back up your groove of things that other people can understand. And it can be redone. So you have proof. Being able to prove yourself through data and taking that data and putting it in a story so different people can understand.
I couldn't agree with you more on that.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree.
No, I was I'm mad, man, because my touch portal not working. I have the soundbite that said, I've been doing this for a long time, and it wouldn't play for me. So I'm going to do it again. But So you touched on that. You really touched on the skills for that. We already asked you earlier, were you down to relocate? But, you know, you probably just want to stay in the Bay forever. You know how y'all do.
Yeah. Guys, I have a hard stop. So you guys can figure out.
Go ahead.
Definitely. Go ahead. We finna wrap it up. It's
like for sure.
9 o'clock his time, 8:09 my time. Yeah. We did enjoy you.
It's been a pleasure and it's been totally fun.
We will do part two. So sure. I'll let you go.
But all right. Thank you guys. Chat with you guys later.
See you, Rose.
All right. Later. Dang it. I should have told her to let this thing finish uploading. Before she dropped off. Hold on.
Why
we see three of hers?
Bro, I have no idea what's happening. Yo, wouldn't it be crazy if it just started laughing again, right?
It would. Yeah, look, we are to the endpoints. We gave y'all some technical gems. Of course, we talked a little bit about MySpace.
I want to do a more technical show because this was definitely like a good conversation, but I definitely want to do a more technical show about threat hunting. So,
oh yeah, yeah, definitely. I think we will. I think this was a good filling out process. Cause I think the next time we come back, like, cause I feel like this chemistry that we just did with three people, we could do that again live. And I think it'll be cool. But if you guys did get a little tidbits about, you know, some of the things that Eric said when it came to threat hunting, I threw like a little dab in there about, you know, what I was talking about, like you said, like biases. Cause I was going to throw in too, the bias is also seeing alerts so many times thinking that, this ain't legit. And then that'd be the one that's legit.
Yep.
But that circumvents, that goes back to, hey, get rid of the noise. That's mm-hmm. how we got hit with the Bloodhound and the Sharphound stuff. I'm like,
cause Bloodhound looks like regular PowerShell. Bloodhound looks like a regular power. What's the other one? PowerShell Empire. PowerShell Empire, Bloodhound, and Death Star all just look like regular admin tasks in PowerShell.
Right. And I kept on seeing all my analysts saying, oh, internal to internal traffic, blah, blah. I said, hey, I told these people, I wish I could have access to. I said, I don't think my guy's doing this right. Y'all need to relook at this rule because it fires too often for us to never have escalated it. So
we're tuning it out. But you know, the thing about corporate security is a lot of time it becomes this machine, right? Where it's just like a lot of analysts deal with alert fatigue. You know, I mean, me being, you know, a year
they removed, was dealing with alert lazy.
Well, I mean, you say that, right? But
in the instance that I'm saying, because
hold on. What I'm saying is, you say that alert lazy is one thing, but like, what was their false positive to true positive rate?
It was extremely high.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. You're saying alert laziness, but if I have to deal with 70 false positives a day, at a certain point, is it laziness or is it just like burnout?
I would tell you, one of the guys, his was burnout because I found out that other people on the ship weren't pulling their weight. So his was burnout. One guy was complete lazy. He put notes that wasn't even related to it in the closing notes. Mm-hmm. One dude never knew how to do it anyway. And so it was a whole three mixture of things. I had to go back and rework these things. Nah, they should have did this, and this. And we're going to leave y'all with this. What they found out is, hey, we should have had this implemented in our EDR to let us know, you know, what else is on the system when this pops. So risk-based alerting, that's what they was trying to get to, and I think they finally got to. Mm-hmm. Now everything makes sense. Hey, if this fire, boom, because Tanium used to be super noisy for us.
That's that correlation. If you see a cloud resource where a crypto key is modified and all the snapshots are deleted, let us fucking know immediately.
And we haven't seen an instance in this region of 90 days.
Yeah. We don't want to know every time a snapshot is deleted. Right?
Right.
Because that's the thing. That's the thing you, as an engineer, as you're building stuff.
It can log it. We just don't want to alert on it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the thing I have to think about with my SOC, right? It's like, I don't want an alert. So, okay, so deleting a snapshot is a technique of ransomware, right? Mm-hmm. But deleting a snapshot is also something we do literally four or five times a day in our cloud sandbox.
Yep.
So,
and add in even something simple like, hey, the user that did it, what was the naming convention? All those things could be in an allow list to where they're not firing anyway. So it's a whole bunch of easy, simple things.
You correlate it. You say, I want to know if this user was elevated, this user's privileges were elevated within the last 24 hours, and if the crypto keys were modified, and if the snapshots were backed up or deleted. Mm-hmm. I don't want to know. I'm not going to say I don't want to know, but I don't need an alert for any one of those things happening. Right? A user might get promoted and their privileges get raised. I don't need an alert for that. I need that to go into our index so that if we need to look it up historically, then we know when that happened. If a new crypto key gets created, I need it to go in our index. And again, I'm speaking generally here, but obviously if I'm working, it heavily depends on the business, the cloud service provider we're using, who the user is, et cetera, et cetera. But that's the job of the analyst. The job of the analyst, as an engineer, when I'm building something, when I go to the analyst, the question I'm going to ask is like, okay, well, what traffic do we normally see? What type of behavior do we normally see? That's what I ask my analyst. You know what I mean? And
trend analysis, hey.
But a lot of places aren't. A lot of people think analyst work is, I'm going to go work in a seam, I'm going to close out alerts, and I might get to do a phishing email here or there. Mm-hmm. And that's just not it. Depending on the SOC you work in, you can't work in my SOC like that.
Right.
Let
me see something. So check this out. People may be able to see this on the screen. This dude had a tweet yesterday, and he said, what my mom thinks a SOC analyst does.
Hell yeah.
He's just looking at socks. That was funny. Yeah. That's a dad joke for real.
That's a super dad joke. I don't know. Like that people think sock analysts are just looking at logs and like it's weird because you remember. Yeah. I mean, I caught a lot of heat for my tweet. What was that? A couple months ago?
For the event IDs and stuff like that.
Yeah, I caught a lot of heat for that. And people were like, oh my God, this is dumb. This is blah, blah. And people are just like, that's not entry level question. I'm like, well, you don't know who's in my SOC. We got a whole fucking pen testing AppSec team in our SOC who their job literally every day is when I finish writing an alert or when I finish writing a policy, their job is to test it and try to create a true positive and then try to find false positives that I didn't recognize. That's right. Their whole job. And guess what? They work in a SOC. They are SOC analysts.
Yep. Man, you already know most of the people, and we're gonna end it on this because we got to pick this back up, like especially if we do a live Patreon. I think I'm probably going to try to edit this probably by tonight just to drop from my Patreon because I don't know
how you're going to do this shit in one night editing.
It's nutting. But it's not a team. But what I would say is most people just be talking the talk. Muslim people don't work nowhere. They have fake profiles. Mm-hmm. You can't verify them. People saying they're doing a senior position without a title. So I was just like, man, fuck them. I could care less. Like I said, people got mad at me because I told people want six-figure jobs without six-figure skills.
Yeah.
So thanks. I was like, when you tell somebody that about doing something in cybersecurity, you gatekeeping. But when nobody say that about an accountant, a doctor, you can even say a fireman. You can say somebody, electrician, a pilot, anything that require high level
this
skills.
This is the only job where motherfuckers be like, I should get paid six figures for my passion and my will to learn. Like I guarantee you motherfuckers would be like, listen, I want to be a lawyer. I don't know the law, but I'm willing to learn. The fuck? Right. Like, why are y'all not taking our profession that serious?
Tell me about it. And don't even get me started on that, because, I mean, the pay thing is different. Everybody, I don't care what you get paid, just be able to back it up. People getting laid off all the time because they can't back up what they've been selling in an interview. That's what I ain't dropping the thread, but I ain't have to do buddy like that. They kept on killing themselves. But just know, this is a Drake type of sub.
Listen, some of these folks, like, we know. Here's the thing. At a certain point, it's like those of us who actually work in the industry, I don't remember if it was McKenna or Tanisha who said it, but it was like, at a certain point, if the only connection you have to the industry is Twitter, like, it becomes a little suspect for me. Like, ain't nobody seen you at no conference. Ain't nobody seen you at no meetups. Ain't nobody seen you.
You ain't got no recommendations on LinkedIn.
You ain't got no recommendations. You ain't in nobody's network. Like, it gets to a certain point where it's like, okay, the only place you show up in the industry is on Twitter. And, so I'll give you an example, a public example.
Because it's easy to fool people who don't know. Like I said, people, if you want to know, and I don't know what's coming out, but just try to go lurk my Twitter and figure out. I'm talking about a young man who I got beside himself a little bit. So he always got a little pat.
We ain't
got
to talk about it. We ain't got
to
talk
no,
about
no,
it.
No, I have
too much,
to.
He had too much dip on his ship.
He always had too much dip on his ship. I have, like I said, I ain't got to say much. I'm saying he had too much dip on his ship. Got beside himself when I asked him a regular question and they jumped out the window.
It was mad regular.
And that's because when, as they say, they probably don't know if they say this on West Coast or North, but in the South, a hit dog holler.
A hit dog holler. You know I'm from the South too, so you know I'm with you.
So, I mean, I asked them something, they didn't do it, but when I would go back the energy they had the same energy with, you know, a young lady a couple of weeks ago. It was all funny.
No. The problem was he didn't have the same energy. With her, his energy was totally different. With her, it was all types of disrespectful terms and
no. It was worse. But then that's when they would say, oh, I got a stupid. I would say, oh, but when you do it, it ain't, oh, bet. That's when I put that gif, I was like, bet.
And, you know, and that's why I said it was tactful. The interesting thing was, like, you and I both know this particular individual has reached out to us on LinkedIn for, you know, I'm really not trying to focus on the drama because I had my moment on Twitter.
I'm not
where I did do my sell. Thing.
All I'm gonna say is, if I'm a person, if I reach out to you unsolicited, whether you ask for it or not, but you know I got skin in the game and I'm telling you something good, and you pretty much kind of brush me off, you lost a major connection that could probably tell somebody, hey.
Oh, he did. Oh, he pissed off the wrong people for the industry he's in right now. Like, because you saw how that network started to expand. Like, it got to not only our social group, like me, you, D, like, it not only us, but then it started to expand. Like, you saw my boss jumped in there. And, like, when we talk about heavy hitters, he's in that class with, like, him, Marcus Hutchins. Like, he's in that class.
Right.
So not only do you tear down the networks like that we have, because I think people forget, because I mean, I don't say this as a brag, but we're kind of the OGs now. People forget we got OGs. Yep. Like Marcus, Ty, Roger, those are all our OGs. And so when you start doing stuff like that, not only do you mess up our networks, but they start to see that. And, you know.
Yep. And that's
it is
why
what it is, man.
It wasn't a little squirmish. It was nothing. It's,
you know, I said what
nothing.
I said. I said, you know, people been in the house too long. We've been doing virtual conferences too long and, like, ain't been seeing each other enough. So now people think, oh, I can say whatever I want to say to people because I'm never going to see this person. I'm just like, hey, y'all know, like, we finna be back at conferences soon. Like, these people going to see y'all.
I'm not talking crazy
to folks because summer camp is coming up. You know what I'm saying? We'll all be at DEF CON Black Hat, and we'll all be at DEF CON and Black Hat.
And Austin.
I'll be at Afrotech. Shout out to everybody that's going to Austin. Y'all should come meet us. I'm not saying it's going to be a live podcast, but you know.
You never know.
Y'all should definitely come to Afrotech.
What the little Al, Mr. Al say on the Tootsie Pop? You know, let's find out. Yeah. But honestly, I ain't going to lie. This is like, this gave me really the JBP vibe. Shout out to Joe Budden, Ice and Ish, Parks, Autumn Boys, Alex. I don't know the other boys. He's calling me Young Boys that be in the back helping out.
Yeah.
But this really is like, it ain't going to always be this spicy. This has happened to me. Y'all caught us on a day where it was just a spicy day. And I had none but time.
Spicy day. I like that.
And they're lucky because my touch portal wasn't working because I had a thing to say, well, today I got time. That's how I felt a little bit. But I'm just, guys, let you know this is Sock Talk Volume 2. We're going to have a lot of Sock Talks on here. And one of the things I want to do with this Sock Talk series is we'll probably try to bring in some people that's either, we'll bring in some people that's looking to get into the sock, and also some people that's probably very early on the sock, and we'll talk to them about questions or concerns that they have or what should they work on, because I think that'll be essential. Because like you found out, there's a lot of misconceptions about the sock. When people that I coach will say, oh, I got an interview doing a sock thing, I always give them these questions. First, I got to update, and I'm going to publish them eventually to my site. And it's simple stuff, and it's stuff I used to see in my environments when I was doing sock work. Like asking somebody, hey, you know, what would you do in a fish, you know, if a fishing, a fishing alert popped off, how would you triage, you know, unauthorized travel or unusual travel? Simple. Ooh,
that's
stuff.
That's a good one. I didn't even think about that one. That's a good one.
Right. Cause it's just regular stuff, but I always looking for stuff. Like even when it came to the phishing message, I was like, okay, well, first of all, the simplest thing to figure out, hey, did they click the link or did they not click it? Like that's the first thing first. Let's look at that.
Cause they could have just straight up deleted that bitch.
Right.
Or
it could have been.
That's a really good one, bro.
It is, because it could have been somebody like you looking at it through Proofpoint or something like that, and you clicked it, but that's because you're trying to see what it is and you working on it in the sandbox. Like, it's a whole bunch of different things, but it's the reason why you got people like us, because that's the passion part when it come out, when I like, we do the sock stuff, because the cert is one thing, but it don't show you how to think. And if I can get you to think like an analyst, you might not even know everything from the port numbers or whatever, but I guarantee you, you'll be able to answer some questions that you ain't seen.
Yo, one more time, because I think this is going on. I think this is going on the Patreon, so I want to make sure we plug it. Y'all, please go get and read The Psychology of an Intelligence Analyst. That book is...
I'm going to have the link in the description.
It changed my life. Like, that, The Psychology of an Intelligence Analyst, it takes you out of this cybersecurity-centric mindset that, I'm not going to lie, we have to be in it, but it really breaks down, okay, like, what is the job and the mindset and the things that we have to do to just analyze data from a general standpoint? I don't care if you're a business intelligence analyst, security intelligence analyst, marketing intelligence analyst. This says, like, okay, what is the mindset of somebody whose job is to take massive amounts of data and make sense of it? And I think that's one of the things that we overlook in cybersecurity is the actual analyst job. Your actual job is to take massive amounts of data that don't make sense to anybody else and then make sense of it. And that's why I said earlier, our job starts when the data stops making sense. Because otherwise you wouldn't need us to analyze it. Otherwise it's straightforward, right? What's the old saying we say, bro? What's understood don't need to be explained.
Hey. I still have to be so challenged right now. I thought about the song Little Secret, what your man don't know won't hurt him. Dang. But hey, man.
Shout out to Afrotech, because that's what's going down. Never mind. Let me stop.
Hey, man. He's off the Tito's.
It's the Tito's. It's the Tito's.
If y'all made it to the end of this.
It's the non-sponsored vodka.
Watch this. Tito's. If you made it to the end of this, and you are interested in taking Sec Plus, I will get you a study guide. And all you have to do is answer this question in my DMs. On Drumline, what was the last rule in a rule book?
Hey, can I throw one more in there?
Go ahead.
If you made it to the end of this and you answer the question, I'll throw in a 1 hour ask me anything session whenever you're ready. We can schedule a 1 hour one-on-one ask me anything session.
And don't just try to skip to the end, because I'm going to ask you some follow-up questions. But that's been another episode of Textual Talk. Well, I'm your host, HD, and you never know, this might be the future host, ET. And we are out of here.
Let's go.
All right, let me hit stop. All right, guys, that wraps up another episode of the Textual Talk, man. Hope you really enjoyed it. We plan to probably do that one live on part two, just because y'all saw how it got. Like, we could have talked all night. And we plan to probably bring some people in to where we can do some Q&A so you guys can check it out. But if you are watching or listening on, you know, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any other streaming service, please leave a review. It really helps the podcast. And if you are watching this on YouTube, please make sure you hit the like button for me. Share it out if you think someone will find the information we talked about in today's episode will be useful for their life. But as I always say, let's stay textual.